the hell is it?
Right outside of this one church town, there's a gold dirt road to a whole lot of nothing. Got a deed to the land, but it ain't
Blake
my ground.
Why am I Blake?
God's country. We pray for
I thought they didn't play new stuff on Bob.
They did tonight.
When Boomer makes a request, I make it happen.
Get outdoors, get my outdoors. Friend. Happy Sunday, Strewman and Producer Mark.
Hey, whoever,
it's God's country.
Whoever does that promo for all of our shows, he talks about the best 3 hours of outdoor hunting and fishing in the Twin Cities, whatever it is. He's got to change that because the first hour is nothing but BS, and the second 2 hours are hunting and fishing. Now, we do some hunting and fishing here on the Four Outdoorsmen, but most of it is BS because I'm Strewman, Boomer, and Lukey. How's everybody doing tonight?
You know what, buddy? I'm doing good. When we get to the first part of our chat, I'm going to talk a little bit about putting the ice fishing gear away, have a couple tips for our listeners, and then talk about the firearm safety class that I'm so proud of. Sophia and Cole, they passed their field range day today up at the Izanti Gun Club, so I'll get into that. But I'm doing good, buddy. I'd be doing better if it wasn't snowing.
You're talking about putting the ice fish houses away and all that for the, you know, the winter fishing of 2019 is over. If you were to do the same thing that Dave Farmer and his buddies did up on Lake Vermilion a couple of weeks ago, hell, you don't have to put them away. They just might go through the ice. These guys had a heck of an experience up there trying to get their ice fish houses off the ice, and Dave is going to be our first guest about 6:20 or so.
Well, I tell you what, it would be a heck of an experience, Strewman and Producer Mark, if you were trying to fish the river, because I attempted to. We were trying to put together the logistics, but the river right now around St. Paul is about 17 feet above normal.
Boy, all of Harriet Island is underwater again like it was many, many years ago, and it's a big mess, and it's just, it is what it is. You can't fight nature, and you got to roll with it, I guess.
Now, I know you can't see us in studio tonight, but Producer Mark, you're looking pretty dapper, buddy. The hair is done.
I went to church
Levi's
today.
On. Looking good, buddy.
You look like a young Babe Winkleman.
Is that good or bad?
That's not. Well, let Babe decide that. I'll take a picture of that.
No,
and you
usually
instead of Babe.
After church, I, you know, put my sweats on and lay around, but I was too lazy to change my clothes. So
not
I'm,
this time, huh?
Yep.
Hey, speaking of Babe,
I got my good jeans on.
Hey, speaking of Babe Winkleman, I saw him on a video because a week or two ago, we had Steve Panaz on to talk about Men Fish Foundation and Coalition. Ron Shira is a part of that. Al Linder is a part of that.
Babe
Steve
is
Panaz,
part of that.
And Babe is a part of that. So they had videos on their website. So I got to see videos from all of those guys talking about that cool foundation that really is just going to bring more money, kind of a lobbyist group to just focus more on the conservation and enjoying us catching more fish
for
the future.
Big hitters. Big
yeah,
hitters on
some
that
big
one.
Hitters.
Is there any bigger hitters in Minnesota fishing?
There's one sitting between you and me.
Yeah. Where is he? You know, when you get Linder,
you'll be there,
Shara,
pal. You'll be there.
And you get Winkleman involved and Panaz and then Dave Osborne from,
Northland Tackle guy.
Yeah. What's his name?
Well, he must be a big hitter if you don't know his name.
But he's a big hitter.
He's a big hitter.
He's a big hitter.
Hey, listen, we talked about, I told you a story from BK about 1997 when he took his old man. Heath's Resort up on the Whitefish Chain.
Yes.
Spearfishing. And I didn't read the whole thing because it would have taken too long, so I kind of improvised it. And BK sent me a text reminding me, here's the whole story about this thing. His old man caught that 22. He speared that 22-pound northern the last day of the season, the last hour of the fishing season, and the last time he ever fished in his life. That's a cool story. Thanks to Heath's Resort. We'll get up there sometime in the spring. Thanks, BK, for sending the story in. Go ahead, Boom.
Yeah, you know, I got a couple of tips and tricks for our listeners on getting your ice fishing tackle, your gear, your clam houses put away, because right before the show, Producer and Mark and I were talking about what we did this week, and Mark, we kind of did the same thing, didn't we?
Yeah, I put away the clam Warrior X, and I emptied out my auger. I put all my ice fishing stuff fits inside my sled.
Oh, that's slick.
So I can put the cover on and pack it away. Got out the rods for open water, and to the change of seasons, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I like to do towards the end of the season when there's the last couple days of, you know, now spring is starting to show up, it's sunny out, the temperature's flirted with the 60s, is I'll take out, you know, the Jason Mitchell pop-up, I'll take over the X1 fish trap, you know, the flip over, I'll set them up, and I'll put them in the sunny part of the driveway, let those dry out a little bit. I'll take my my clam backpack or my tackle bag, my rod bag, and I'll open all those up. And while I'm at home, I'll let those air out before about 4 hours, because you really don't want to put those away when they have moisture, because, you know, moisture can create mold and mildew and all that stuff. But I let that sit out a little bit, and then someone might disagree with me, but I'll take like a Lysol can, a little disinfectant can, you know, and just spray around the cloth of some of the smelly parts, let that sit out. I'll make sure that, you know, the rods, I'll disconnect any of the tackle from them and reel them up so they don't get stuck in the bag. And then if you do have one of those clam flipovers like I do, I'll put the backpack in there. I'll make sure I put the rod bag in there. I'll disconnect any batteries, because some of the clams now, you know, they have the light bar on the top and it's connected to a battery. Make sure that's disconnected. I'll wrap the battery in like a little bag that you get from a grocery store or whatnot. Put all that stuff away after you're letting it air out. Put the Vexlars, I charge them one last time, put those in there, and then everything gets put away.
What I find interesting is I went to the Legion Club, right, but you know, Osteo Legion Club a couple of days last week for, you know, the home, not the homegrown,
the listener.
The Bob listener and the review, request to lunch hour at the Legion Club, and I drove by your house, and he's got all this stuff in the driveway, and it's drying out, but there was a sign that said, don't worry, I've got insurance. So I know what, your plan was.
Did you see it all? Seriously, Stu?
I did. Stuff out there. Go ahead.
And ladies and gentlemen, empty out your waxworm pucks. I've made that mistake many times. All your live bait containers that have been sitting in your jacket, make sure they're empty and cleaned out, because I make that mistake every
year.
And I find a random puck with some raisins in there.
Oh, yeah.
Or the worst thing is if you put some minnows in there, you know, because they're going to be dead. Those are the worst. They can stink it up. But one cool thing, guys, I want to talk about is during the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, Sophia and Cole participated in their firearm safety certificate.
Yep, you mentioned it. Yep.
So they had their written test. It was about a two-day program. And then after that was supposed to be the range day, but because of the snow and the weather, they had it rescheduled. So we headed up north about an hour from the cities to the Isani Gun Club, located in Cambridge, Minnesota. And I just want to give those guys kudos. Did Michigan State win?
Michigan State just won, it looks like.
Upset over the Duke Blue Devils, huh?
Yeah, so I'm in a couple brackets, one with about 800 people in it, and a two-year-old is currently winning. Seriously, I'm not even kidding. A two-year-old is winning, and is probably going to take home the prize.
Oh, that's funny.
But I want to give kudos to these Fishing for Life guys. If you haven't ever been to a firearm safety certificate class, or you just, you know, you've already been through it and you're dropping your kids off, I really encourage you to be there with your kids, because it's really cool some of the things that they do. It's a lot different than when I did it, you know, 30-something years ago. You know, the first thing they did is did an intro of what they're going to do. So one of the first things they did is they talked about they had a mimic fence put up at the gun club. And they talked about each kid would go through of unloading their gun, handing it to the kid next to him, or laying it down, crossing the fence, that kind of stuff. Then one of the other cool exercises they did is they had two color Frisbees, Strew Man and Producer Mark. They had a blue Frisbee and a pink Frisbee. And they said, all right, does anyone know what a male pheasant is called? And they'd raise their hand and say, rooster. And they said, okay, that's going to be the blue one. That's going to be your blue Frisbee. Does anyone know what you call the female pheasant? They go, hen. Perfect.
There you go.
So what they did is, when you see a rooster, this is your range to shoot. You bring your gun up and you go bang. It's unloaded. And you say rooster. And then if it's a hen, you can bring your gun up but say hen and you don't shoot.
Yeah, cool.
So they would throw the Frisbees behind them and they walked back and forth for about 15 minutes. That was a really cool exercise. Then they had a demo tree stand with a rope coming down. And they talked about how you tie your gun to the rope, and then you go up the tree stand, and then you pull it up. And then after that, the coolest thing is they take them to the range, and they get to shoot a 22. They have hearing and eye safety protection, and they shoot from the standing position, from the sitting position, from the kneeling position, and then from the prone position, which you look like a little sniper, right? You're laying on your tummy, and you kind of got your legs like a flamingo.
Got it.
And you got to shoot five at each station you did, and congrats to Cole and Sophia and everyone. They had passed the class, but, you know, it only took about 3-4 hours, but I tell you what, I was so happy I was there, because sometimes your kids need a little encouragement if they just don't know what to do, but it's nicer to have someone else teaching your kids, if you guys know the feeling. But it was a great day, so I'm excited for that, and I'm excited to get them out with them hunting this fall.
I really like that they did the tree stand thing, because stuff like that, I mean, you wouldn't know if, you know, someone didn't teach you or your dad taught you, but that's really cool that They used actual real world situations.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
Especially like going through the fence, you know, like, you know, all of those things that happen when you're in the woods and you're out there hunting. So kudos to Fishing for Life. Steve, I think his name was Wayne. Tom Goodrich is a friend of the show. Great job with that.
Sure. Did you have to do hunter safety or are you grandfathered in?
I'm probably grandfathered in because I'm a grandfather, but I don't think I ever took hunter safety. I'm sure my dad must have taken me sometime or another to shoot something, but I don't remember any of that. But I know there was no formal gun safety.
Now, Stru, I know you're on a healthy diet right now, and I know not spending money can motivate Stru Man as well.
That's
so I've got motivation for you to live past the age of 90. Do you know what that is?
You don't have to buy a license.
Yeah, a Jameson once a night, one shot of Jameson a night, and making love to my wife once a week.
Yes. Well, I got to fish with a gentleman at Ice Team University who is past the age of 90. And when you're past the age of 90, you don't have to buy a fishing license.
I'm going
to
live
in the state
past,
of Minnesota.
Oh,
so I know
90.
If that doesn't give you motivation,
that'll
besides
give
your
motivation.
Beautiful wife, that's going to get
you
going.
You know what else I learned that was really cool from Travis Frank, actually?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had this, but you can buy a lifetime fishing license for a child.
Yes.
And it's a couple $100. It's cheaper, obviously, the younger they are. But that is a great idea for grandparents.
It's been out for about 10 years.
Yeah. So I just learned about that. I'm going to do it for sure. What a great gift, you know, from a grandfather to a grandson.
It's true.
Hey, no, so we got a couple good guests on tonight, don't we, Stru?
We do. We got Joe Call. He's with Rack Stars. They're the shed,
Minnesota Rack Stars,
the shed hunter guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, they commented on our shout-out post, and I'll get through our shout-outs here too. But Joe posted a picture and shout-outs about shed hunting. And I know we've talked a little bit in the past about, I think with Dokken, about training a dog to hunt sheds. But
I've seen them.
It's something fun to do on the off season, and I just wanted to learn more about it. He's got some really cool videos online and stuff and YouTube, so check him out, Minnesota Rack Stars. But let me get through some of these shout-outs. We have a few of them going here, and there's a great picture of Boomer's kids on the range there from their hunter safety thing. But Corey Bechtold from What's Working Now says, is the ice season over? Full report to come on What's Working Now Facebook page, but he's got a picture of a nice crappie there. Justin Zeiss says, big hello from the Zeiss family. Open water can't come fast enough now that our boat is home. Everyone's bringing their boat home. I still haven't gotten the Sea Sprite out of the garage yet. But John Marshall says, my son Caden and I on our last ice trip to the cabin pull out this nice cat while fishing for crappies. Great way to end the season. And then Matthew Hissa, has a picture of himself out on the range shooting some targets. So congrats to everyone. Thanks for writing in to the Four Outdoorsmen.
I got a couple more shout-outs, too. Next Sunday, we're going to be joined with Mike Farrell and Allie Whithens, friends of the show from Memories Made Guide Service. They're going to talk a little bit about their tournament coming up in May that benefits vets. Plus, they're going to talk a little bit about the journey of wanting to be a guide service and what that whole process looks like. And then a shout out to the Cambridge High School fishing team and John Marshall. I'm going to be headed up there with my lovely wife, Nicole, on Monday, April 8th. And we're going to be talking to those young men and women about the state of fishing and how do you make a job out of the outdoors.
I think it'd be very, very tough. And everyone knows that. Hey, you're talking about your kids taking gun safety and learning about not only handling the weapon properly, but shooting at the right targets, right?
Yep.
This actually happened. I got this today from my brother-in-law. It happened in Ohio. A young couple who were trying to spice things up. They like to do things in character. They dressed up as Bigfoot, honest to God, and they went
both
camping.
Of them?
They both went dressed up as Bigfoot and trying to get into character, and they were trying to have some fun doing their thing. And here comes along, what's the guy's name? Jack Burns and his son, and they were just pre-hunting for bear coming out of their dens, whatnot. They're just kind of walking property with guns, just protect themselves. And they saw these two people dressed in character in Sasquatch outfits, and they blasted them both.
What?
They fired 8 shots, and both got hit 3 or 4 times. Nothing, they're not going to die, but they're blasted up pretty good because they were dressed like Sasquatch.
Is that for real?
Walking
is that
through
for
the
real?
Woods in Ohio.
Where was Ohio?
In Ohio. Yeah, so be careful what you're shooting at.
They should get in trouble. You can't just randomly shoot at creatures.
They believe in Bigfoot down there, apparently. That's a true story as well.
I don't even know where to go with that.
With Bigfoot, I don't either.
Did they die?
No, they're doing okay. They just blast up a little bit. Nothing in the head or anything, but they're going to be okay.
Where did you hear that, sir?
On ESPN. I don't know where the hell I am, but never you mind. It's a true story. Look it up.
Look it up.
I'm going to jail.
Well, I'm glad they're okay. I mean, I just...
And if we had time, I'd share my septic story that we had. Do you have a couple of minutes? We have two?
We have 3 minutes.
Oh, well, this is interesting. My wife and I went to the cabin. We had this vortex, this polar vortex thing about 2 weeks ago where we had no snow hardly. It was 35 below and 40 below for 5, 6, 7 days, and then it snowed, right? We go up to the cabin a couple of days back. Diana flushes the toilet or does something on the sink, and we heard gurgling in the sink, which means, something's plugged someplace along the line. So I went downstairs into the crawl space, open up the clean out. It's a 4-inch PVC pipe, and maybe 5 gallons of stuff came out. Not a big deal. I thought we got the plug, whatever was unplugged, put the cap back on, sealed it back up, and I took that down to Diana's garden and dumped it. And the next day, she washed dishes, she took a shower, she did this, and then it started gurgling back into the bathtub, which means we've got a frozen septic system. So I was going to go down and take the 40-gallon trash barrel, like I did the first time, put it below the clean-out, open the clean-out, and think the same thing's going to happen. It came out like a geyser, and it's filling up this whole trash barrel. There's all kinds of stuff in this water coming out. And it's going to overflow this trash barrel onto the all over the floor in the crawl space. I had to try to put that cap back on with all that pressure coming out, and it made me look like a spotted wonder. And I finally got the cap on. I had to take buckets of this stuff outside to dump it. It was an absolute big mess because our drain field was frozen. So, but we got lucky, no broken water pipes. I had to, Diana says, take a shower. I didn't take a shower. I jumped in the hot tub.
You.
I cleaned up in the hot tub.
Well, I tell you what, part of getting ready for spring is your kind of fun stuff, but our kind of fun stuff is getting the open water tackle ready, and there's no better place to buy some tackle rods or equipment than OmniaFishing.com. It's like your local bait store online. Go to OmniaFishing.com. You can pick your lake, the species of fish you want to target, what kind of technique you're going to use, and then what kind of tackle it will represent. It will select it, recommend it to you. It's based on guides and their algorithms. And if you go to OmniaFishing.com and you see a lake there that you're an expert on or know a guide, go in there and contact them, because there's a way for you can make some money by recommending that tackle. So check it out at OmniaFishing.com.
Hey, since we're talking about sponsors right now, let's talk about them, get it out of the way, because we love our sponsors. Without them, we are nobody. We got Blackfish Outerwear, Devil's Lake Tourism. That's our bucket list. There are the best place in the world to go fishing if it's outside of the state of Minnesota. And Heath's new resort up in the Whitefish Chain. We're going to visit them in a couple of weeks.
And Alumacraft Boats. My family's been with them for 6 to 8 years. The best aluminum boat in the market. Good sales going on. Go to alumacraft.com or a dealer near you to learn more. What's next, Drew?
Rackstar.
Our Rackstar. Nope.
Checking in with the four outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft Boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft Boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you. Finally, an online tackle shop built for you. OmniaFishing.com. Boomer here, and how about this? Headed to a new lake or an old favorite? With OmniaFishing.com, you simply pick your lake, the species of fish you want to catch, and OmniaFishing.com tells you the hottest lures that are working now. And it's not just OmniaFishing's opinion, it's the local guides and pros that help with selecting the tackle for each lake. With thousands of lakes to select in Minnesota, OmniaFishing.com has you covered.
Come to Delano Lanes and Entertainment on Highway 12, just 20 minutes west of 494. Bowling with great daily specials. Start the week on a high note. How about the Monday Mystery Beer Special? $1.75 a beer of our choice from 5 to 10. Or close it out with open bowling all day Friday. Saturday nights, come for a 3-course dinner special starting at 6 p.m. And contact us for special family bowling and birthday packages. Get the daily specials and live music schedule at DelanoLanes.com.
Don't miss the Spring Gun and Knife Show at the National Guard Armory in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota this Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and 7th. Open 9 to 5 Saturday and 9 to 3 Sunday. Only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, trade guns, knives, military relics, and collectibles all in one location. And there are still openings for vendors who want to display their wares. Visit crocodileproductions.com or email crocodile1@comcast.net for more information.
You can't choose the weather, but you can choose rain gear that works. Introducing Blackfish Technical Rainwear. Utilizing patented fabric technology, Blackfish rain suits are 100% waterproof, yet provide unmatched breathability, keeping you dry from your own perspiration. And with a limited lifetime warranty, Blackfish rain suits are built to last. When you need to stay dry and comfortable, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and spring is in the air, so it's time to get ready. If you're looking to unload some of your old gear, that's rods, reels, tackle boxes, sportsman's gear, or even boats, Fishing for Life is the place to go. Why? We have over 500 volunteers rebuilding this stuff in the spring, getting it back to kids. Maybe you want to help in that department. Donate today or volunteer at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Get your tickets now for this year's Tree Town Music Festival, May 23rd through the 26th in Forest City, Iowa. Little Texas, Dierks Bentley, Tracy Lawrence, Trace Adkins, Toby Keith, and many more highlight this spectacular four-day event.
How do you like me now?
Yeah. Don't miss this year's Tree Town Music Festival, May 23rd through the 26th in Forest City, Iowa. Get your ticket and camping packages now at treetownfestival.com. That's treetownfestival.com.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive Little Blue Pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/deal. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/deal. That's forhims.com/deal for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/deal.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Total Country Bob FM.
Even though I said we're going to have Joe Call of the Rack Stars on this section, I'm guessing that Dave Farmer's on the air. Am I correct here, Brandon? Hey, Dave Farmer, are you there?
Yes, safe, Drew. How are you doing
Every day's a gift, young man. Every day's a gift. We got Dave Farmer, and everyone likes all the big shots we talked. We talked about Jason Mitchell. We talked about, you know, all the big shots we have in the air, and now we've got Dave. We got one more. We've got Dave Farmer.
Well, that's quite the introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We just really got Dave Farmer. This was in the Outdoor News, and Dave, I steal probably 70% of my guests from Rob Driesline and the boys at the Outdoor News because of such great, great stories. And yours was one of them. Number two, I've got an affection for Lake Vermilion because my family's had a hunting shack on Mud Creek Road since 1961 and been hunting and fishing up there for a long, long time. So this is a lot about Vermilion and what you guys went through, taking your ice fishes off because you dragged your feet and waited to the last day. You know, one of those guys. You got to be first on the ice and last off the ice. But maybe that's not the situation. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Tell us, Dave, about you. Where are you from? What's your background? How'd you get into hunting and fishing and all that good stuff?
Well, you know, much like you gentlemen, fishing was introduced to me by my father at an early age. And, you know, fortunately, he taught me to love fishing. Unfortunately, he didn't teach me to be a great fisherman, much like himself. But yeah. We have a passion for it and have, you know, over our lifetimes have had a great time out on the lakes. Myself grew up in Maplewood area and graduated from North St. Paul High School. And my wife and I just recently, a little over a year ago, moved up into the Forest Lake area. So we butt up against Carlos Avery, as a matter of fact.
Hey, Dave, how old are you?
I am 55 years old now.
So you know Bill Hallbreder and a bunch of guys, Pat McCuskey from North St. Paul High School?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm an old St. Paul Johnson guy. We butted heads a long, long time, and I refereed a lot of high school and college hockey.
Sure.
And I know those guys real well. And Pat McCuskey grew up not too far away from us by Duluth and Case Playground. So I know a lot of guys from North St. Paul. How did you end up on, if you're a Maplewood guy, I'm an Eastside St. Paul Johnson kid, how did you end up on Vermilion?
Well, interesting story. There's a friend introduced me to a couple of folks up there, Brad and Tammy Hayda, and they are true fishermen, outdoors people. Tammy has a I actually have a bar in their house called the Thirsty Salmon, and it's the namesake of a fish that she caught, a salmon she caught up in Alaska. It's about the size of a Winnebago hanging on the bar wall there. And they invited us one time to come up and join their little village, which is mostly friends and family members. And we had a great time, and were soon invited into the village, which comprises of, 10 houses and 20 misfits. We've got our own mayor, village idiot, and everything that goes along with it. So that's the little community that was up there that ended up in this crazy event.
What part of Lake Vermilion are you on, and how many years ago did this start for you?
For me personally, it was the invite was 3 years ago. Last year, we put our first house up there, and we had so darn much fun that we sold that house and upgraded to a larger fish house in Ice Castle. And then this year was the first year with that. But we're right outside of Tower.
It's a good part of the world. Good, Boomer. This is Boomer.
Yes, so Boomer here. Hey, thanks again for joining us tonight. So you talk about your passion for vermilion. Is there a specific species that you like to go for? I mean, vermilion's known for walleyes, smallmouth, muskies, crappies. What's your favorite to go target?
You know, I love fishing walleye, and that's what this group primarily does out there on the ice. Now, I have thrown some muskie plugs on the lake in the past without any success, and have actually been fortunate enough to get some very, very large crappies, smallmouth as well. But, you know, the true go-to is walleye.
Do you do some summer fishing up there as well? Is that what you're saying?
We've done some, mostly at the resorts. Now that we're in this group, which is entirely made up of Iron Rangers, I'm hoping they're maybe going to get me back up there sometime and show me how to fish in the summertime.
We all know Rangers can drink. Can you hold your own?
You know, I tell you what, the Iron Rangers are an interesting, they're a tough, hardy group, I tell you what. You know, they, I was kind of comparing notes here about the way that we handled this cold winter. You know, it hits 20 below here in the cities, and the schools are shut down, and nobody's going to work or anything like that. And these guys are up there; they're still getting ready for the wet T-shirt contest. They've got the record, of course, for 60 below in Tower back in '96, I think it was. But it doesn't faze them at all. I mean, these guys are, yeah, they're a tough group.
The you talked about Vermilion, and talked about the group you have. You call it the village. There's 10 or 12 families, couples that go up there, 10 or 12 fish houses.
Yes.
I mean, is there, what would happen if somebody, because everybody, most people, Rob, probably up in the Tower Sedan area now, know where you guys are. And what would happen if somebody just decided to put a fish house about 50 feet away from where you guys are?
Well, that's happened. I mean, within the little stretch that we're in, there are some folks that come out and fish around us, and you know, as long as they clean up after themselves and behave themselves and don't call us in for anything that we're making noise or anything like that, we all get along real well. The funny thing was, we had a police officer had to come out and help us when we were stuck out there, and it turned out at the end we didn't know this, he had a house about 150 yards away from us.
All right, so since you brought it up, here's the reason I called Dave Farmer, because I read the entire story in the Outdoor News, and if you haven't picked it up, find it. It's a great, great story. But Dave and his buddies were up there, and they're going to get off the ice on Saturday, before the last day of the season, and now let's start taking our time, and all of a sudden here comes the bad weather. They got one or two houses off. So tell us a story, Dave, and tell us, because this is funny now. It's interesting, and thank God you had some booze to keep you over for the entire night, because it could have been scary. Tell us a story about what happened.
Well, it was actually, the plan was to take them off first thing Sunday morning, actually. And the Saturday started out, typical day. We've only been catching really small walleye for the most part, 10, 12-inch tiny things. And at about 3 o'clock on Saturday, I hooked into a 28-inch walleye, the largest walleye I've caught, frankly. And that made the whole year. I mean, that was wonderful. But then on Sunday, the plan was to get the houses off, and we knew there was some weather coming. We had no idea what it was going to do. And so when we woke up, immediately the cell phone started ringing, and it was Dan Peterson, our mayor. His son is the fellow that plows for us. We got a road going out there. And he said, he's on his way. You guys start buttoning everything up. We got to get these houses out of here. This is getting scary.
Hey, Dave, you talked about, okay, he made the road. How far off of shore are you guys?
Not terribly far, 3/4 of a mile, maybe.
All right.
Yep.
Continue.
Yeah, and so the weather just continued to get worse, and his son came out with the plow, and he was plowing back and forth on the road, and he said, you guys got to hurry. I can't keep up with this. So at that point, we decided we were going to start to caravan the houses out in groups of 3 and 4. I think we had, at that point, 7 or 8 houses still on the ice. And so we sent out the first group, which included a house. I'm sorry. Right before that, the mayor was winching up his house, and he lost control of the winch. It came back and smacked him in the face.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And, and we walked over there. His wife came out screaming. He was actually passed out for a second on the ice. I walked over there, and it looked like somebody had planted a hatchet in his face on the ground. I mean, there was blood everywhere. And so anyway, we got him patched up, and he was fine after that. It was really got him in the nose, so the bleeding was worse than really it, the injury itself.
Yeah.
But at that point, we're hustling to get off the ice, and we sent out the first group of houses. It was a house and then 3 cars and another house. And the first house got stuck right behind the plow. And that led to a chain of events that basically ended up resulting in the last house being stuck there for about an hour while the plow was trying to get the first house and the remaining 3 cars off. Once he got those off, an hour or so had passed, and that final house in that group was buried, and we couldn't get it free. That left us with, I think, 3 or 4 houses still out on the ice. At that point, the fellow Brad Peterson, who was driving the plow truck, ran to his brother's house and got one of these quads a four-wheeler that's a crew cab, holds like 6 or 7 people. I mean, the thing's like a limousine with the tracks on it. And he came flying out in that thing. I don't know about you guys. I'm used to pulling a sled out on the ice. You guys have some toys that I wish I could
have. Yeah.
And at any rate, so that ended up getting stuck in slush.
Oh.
And temperatures were headed to 25 below for the night.
I think you were telling me that, that there was probably, you got all this snow out there and you had all the ice, but you had maybe between the ice and the top level of the snow, 15 to 18 inches of slush, right?
Exactly. Off the road, indeed. And the wheeler got stuck in that. So we ended up in a situation where we needed to try to tow it out. But the problem was that those first vehicles that got off the lake, they had all the tow straps. So we contact this character by the name of Alty to come out on a snowmobile. He lives on the lake. And another Iron Range character, quite honestly. And he came out with a snowmobile. And we tried to call him off. And then one of the group, Tammy Hayter, the one that got us into this, she'd called 911 and said we had this wheeler stuck and needed to get it out, and we were wondering if they had any emergency equipment or anything in the local police department that could come out and help us yank this thing out.
All right, hang on a second. You said that Tammy decided to call 911. Brandon's got a question for you.
Yep.
So who foots the bill for that?
I can tell you this whole thing cost us quite a bit of money by the time we were all done, but we haven't seen a bill for that yet. I think that the folks in Tower are just happy to see us come out and fish and spend some money in the area, so they didn't give us any hassles.
There you go.
Now, at this time, the temperatures are dropping. You guys are kind of panicking a little bit, and someone asked Dan at one point, on a scale of 1 to 10, how screwed are we? What did Dan say?
I asked Dan it's not exactly what I said, but I think that'll work. He looked me in the eye and he said 12.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So we had hooked. We started. We called this character Altie. Altie, by the way, at one point was working in the mines there, and he decided he was bored and wanted to get a job. So he went to Virginia and asked for a job with the maintenance department. They asked him. They said, "Well, what are you good at?" And he sat and thought for a minute, and he said, "I'm not really good at anything." And they hired them the next day. So that's what we're dealing with here. But anyway, Altie came out on a snowmobile. We got some tow straps from the folks on shore. He brought out 5 tow straps, and by the time the night was done, we had the local police officer, Altie, out there. We'd broken 5 tow straps. The four-wheeler was still stuck in the slush. We hooked 2 trucks up in series, four-wheel drive pickup trucks, one behind the next with a strap in between them, and then out to the wheeler, and we still were unable to get this thing out. We bent the bumper on it. We finally, the winch strap broke on the wheeler, ricocheted and hit the back of my truck, knocked a hole through the bumper.
Oh, boy.
That could have been dangerous, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And after, I'd say, 2-plus hours, we finally freed it. And at that point, the fellows that both Dan Peterson and his son Brad had gone out and were marching around the slush, they were filled with water in their boots, up to their knees roughly. Temperatures at that point were probably 15, 17 below. They'd been outside for 2-3 hours trying to free this thing. So we threw them in the wheeler. The police officer hopped on his snowmobile. The 4 of us that remained out there decided we had nowhere to go. We couldn't get off the lake. And so we were going to button down for the night, let the weather pass. And they took off, and we saw the lights of the vehicles taking off, and it took about, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds, and the wheeler was stuck again. So we saw the shadowy figures go walk over to the cop snowmobile, and they hopped on it, and off they went. And there we sat for the night, pretty much stranded, waiting to see what the next day, Monday, was going to bring for us. Of course, we all had to be to work, but spent that following day. They started coming out with a plow at probably 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, knocking away at that snow. It was a beautiful day. It was cold, but there was no wind. The drifting was 5 to 7 feet up. We had that ice house in the truck stuck about maybe a third of the way back to the landing. And I watched him working with that plow, and I calculated how long it was going to take him at the rate he was going, and I figured we were probably looking at sometime in mid-August before we were going to be able to get off that lake. And one of the fellows called a construction company that he knew, and out of Embarrass, Minnesota, and got a skid steer. And they brought the skid steer out slightly after the noon hour. And using the plow and the skid steer, they didn't get to us until roughly 5 o'clock.
My Lord. You know, this is not, we got to wrap this up, Dave, but this is not being on Mille Lacs where you have resort owners all around you who are going to help you get stuff out of there and all that. But you guys survived and you're still married because your wife was involved there as well. I'm guessing she stayed in the ice castle the entire time and just took care of herself a little bit and cocktails and dinner, right, and watched you guys do your thing.
Oh, yeah, she did. She was calm the whole time, had a great time watching everything unfold, and at the end of it, she said, "We'll never do this again."
Well, I'll tell you what, then. Here's what's going to happen. Boomer's got
something. I got one thing, Dave, before we let you go.
Sure.
Would you do it again for that 28-inch walleye?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Would you do it again for that 28-inch walleye?
Oh, I'd do it twice for that.
Dave Farmer, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. I'll tell you what, you support us. And we'll support you. Have a safe spring and summer up on Vermilion. I'm going to call you the next couple of days and BS more about what's happening up there, because that's my part of the world. Thanks
Definitely.
For being on the 4 Outdoorsman, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, and let's make the snow go away so we can get out on the lake.
You bet.
All right, you want to learn about shed hunting? Up next, we've got the All-Stars at it, the Minnesota Rack Stars, up next on the 4 Outdoorsman on Bob Country.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Finally, an online tackle shop built for you. OmniaFishing.com. Boomer here, and how about this? Headed to a new lake or an old favorite? With OmniaFishing.com, you simply pick your lake, the species of fish you want to catch, and OmniaFishing.com tells you the hottest lures that are working now. And it's not just Omnia Fishing's opinion, it's the local guides and pros that help with selecting the tackle for each lake. With thousands of lakes to select in Minnesota, OmniaFishing.com has you covered.
Come to Delano Lanes and Entertainment on Highway 12, just 20 minutes west of 494. Bowling with great daily specials. Start the week on a high note. How about the Monday Mystery Beer Special? $1.75 a beer of our choice from 5 to 10. Or close it out with open bowling all day Friday. Saturday nights come for a 3-course dinner special starting at 6 p.m. And contact us for special family bowling and birthday packages. Get the daily specials and live music schedule at DelanoLanes.com.
Spring is right around the corner, and you just remembered your trailer needs to be serviced before the season starts. Crystal Welding has you covered. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small, because we do it all.
You can't choose the weather, but you can choose rain gear that works. Introducing Blackfish Technical Rainwear. Utilizing patented fabric technology, Blackfish rain suits are 100% waterproof, yet provide unmatched breathability, keeping you dry from your own perspiration. And with a limited lifetime warranty, Blackfish rain suits are built to last. When you need to stay dry and comfortable, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
Hi, this is Donnie Vincent. Listen to Bob anytime, anywhere at mybobcountry.com. Driven by John Hirsch's Cambridge Motors Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Hey, it's your radio back again. Been a little busy putting up Wi-Fi hotspots everywhere. Do you realize more people are now streaming radio via the internet? You might say I get around. And if you run a business and want the word to get around about your products or services, you should consider radio advertising. You want to reach new customers? Well, radio advertising has the best ROI of any media to get the word out about your business. And radio encourages repeat business. We give your customers reasons to return to your store instead of someone else's. Now, if you want to generate more traffic, that's where radio can really help. Also, the advertising you do today is selling customers who might make their buying decision weeks or even months from now. Radio advertising generates new customers and sales now and in the future. Hey, and back to Wi-Fi. You want to drive the neighbors crazy? Just name your Wi-Fi Police Surveillance Van.
Hi, this is Brad Clark, General Sales Manager at Bob FM. Call me at 763-412-4643 or go to radioadvertisingminnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
And we're back with the Four Outdoorsmen here on Bob Total Country Sunday night. And this next guest, he wrote in with a picture on our shout out. So don't forget to write in shout outs and tell us what you're up to. But Joe started something called Minnesota Rack Stars. Joe, are you with us?
I am here.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us. And I just think it's a very interesting thing to do in the off season. Can you give us a little bit about your background in hunting and where you're from, and then we can kind of lead into what it's like to go shed hunting and how you do it.
Yeah, I'm actually from a small town here in central Minnesota, Buckman. I went to school in Pierce. Central Minnesota, I live in Little Falls right now, but most of our hunting we do here in central Minnesota. We do take some trips out of state. Parents basically got us into hunting early on. Every time they went out to the stand, they brought us with. A good story was my dad brought my little brother with out one time, and their walking out in the middle of the morning, and he always let my little brother bring his BB gun with, and he started walking to the stand trying to be all quiet, and my brother had his BB gun loaded, and every step he took, the BBs were rolling from one end of the gun to the other, and his dad made him turn around, put the gun back, but my parents really got us involved in hunting, and right now we're kind of taking it to the next level. We're filming our hunts, everything we do in the outdoors. We're filming and trying to put it on social media for people to see and also to learn from.
Hey, Joe, Strewman here. You're obviously on your cell phone, and you're moving around a little bit here. Try to keep your cell phone in one place if you could, because sometimes you sound really good, and sometimes you're fading out, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, so I want you to tell the whole story again. No, I'm just kidding you. Hey, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoors. You and I spoke a little bit. We know all about shed hunting. It's fairly new as far as being public to the rest of the world. I've never done it. I just think it'd be a cool thing to try. But there again, you and I talked as well. Everything takes time. You've got to make commitments. It's got to take some time.
You bet it does. For us, it starts right after shed season ends for us. We're preparing for the next shed season, and that's by putting in food plots, and that's planting trees and all that good stuff that helps you line up the deck of cards to be successful when it comes time for shed hunting, and then also for deer hunting as well. But, it's like you said, it's a lot of work put in, but when you find some sheds, it's really rewarding.
Joe, what time of year do antlers actually drop?
It all depends on the specific deer. What causes the antlers to fall off is the level of testosterone that the deer has. When that testosterone starts to drop, that's when the antlers fall off. But, it can be anywhere from December, January, February, March. What we do is we wait until mid to late March when we know all the deer have shed their antlers. It's kind of like regular hunting when you go out hunting for deer. You don't want to spook the deer off your property. If you're holding deer and they're wintering on your property, you don't want to go out there too early, because if you do and that deer is still holding his antlers, you're going to push them off your property and more than likely not find them. So there's some strategy involved, but for the most part, we wait till March when we know for sure that all the antlers have fallen off already.
Hey, Joe, thanks again for joining us on the 4 Outdoorsman. Boomer here. Is there any regulation for shed hunting at all?
As far as, like, what?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a very, very good idea, because someone's going to figure out a way to charge us to get a shed. Honest to God, to get $5 a year to get a shed hunting license or something. That's a good question. So what you're saying, Joel, based on your hesitation, there's no regulations, right? You can go any place you want as long as it's public land, find sheds, and it's not going to cost you anything, that kind of stuff, right?
Correct. Yep, you can go out there on public land. The one thing you have to be careful of, when you find a deadhead, that's a deer that has died and is still sitting there, his remains are still sitting there, you might need to get a salvage tag for that from the DNR. But any shed antler, you can go and take. I know when I was living down in southern Minnesota, I'd go out on public land, and I know in one day I found about 6 sheds, so... it's a great opportunity for everybody. Everybody has that opportunity to go out and do shed hunting. It's just not landowners. There's a lot of public land here in Minnesota to take advantage of.
Yeah, Joe, 2 questions for you. One, I know, some folks are eager to knock on doors to go to private land. Is it easier to get access on private land if you're shed hunting? That's my first question.
That's a good question.
And then my second question is, with all the controversy with CWD, is there any CWD linkage to shed heads? And now there's a whole bunch of money going towards it. Is there any testing or any of that if you're in a CWD zone and you get sheds, that you have to get the sheds somewhat tested?
Great question. Wow.
Right. Yeah. So, public land, I think, is the most enjoyable. But when it comes to public land, it's kind of a race to get out there, because there might be another person in that area that knows that there might have been some bucks out there that have been wintering. So it's there's a lot of anticipation that goes along with it. It's becoming more popular. Like you said, for myself, I only started going consistently probably 7 years ago. And before that, it would just be to go walk around. But, now there's strategy that we use and all that good stuff to hopefully find sheds. But, on social media, people are posting a lot of pictures on finding sheds. So it's becoming more popular. think that if someone were to knock on doors, I bet there'd be a lot of people out there willing to let you on their land.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Go ahead.
I don't see why not. That's a wonderful idea. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe, I just have a question for you. I find this fascinating because I've spent my entire life in the woods, you know, off-season as well.
No, he's looking for golf balls.
Looking for golf balls. Yeah. I've never found a shed in my life.
I haven't either.
What kind of spots do you look? Do you look for areas they bed or, you know, what? If I was a novice, which I am, and I wanted to go on public land, what kind of sign do you look for to find shed?
Well, first of all, what I do, to be honest with you, I'm out there scouting, seeing where the deer are herding up and where they're feeding. So I'm out there glassing, looking around. But the big thing for us is a lot of deer like to winter in a good thermal cover, whether it's cedar trees, pine mm-hmm. trees, swamp grass, you name it. You got to look for that good thermal cover first and foremost. And then it's the transition zone, you know, from bed to feed. They don't like to travel too far in the mm-hmm. winter when they're feeding because they don't want to burn too many calories. So they'll bed fairly close to the food. The food that we've been having success with this year and in years past is alfalfa. It's easy to digest for the deer, and, you know, there's a lot of it. So it's what works for us. The alfalfa, I know we're going to be planting more alfalfa this year. But it's food, it's bedding, and then it's also that transition area. And, you know, you're going to find those sheds once in a while when you're just out walking around, and all of a sudden, hey, there's a shed laying there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, if you really want to increase the odds of finding sheds, you got to find good thermal cover first, and then there's got to be, you know, an abundance of food nearby. You know, people will put in food plots and expect deer to winter there, but if you don't have enough food to last that deer or the deer herd all winter, you're not going to find as many sheds.
I have two questions, and then I'll shut up. This is the most I've talked in probably a year of the radio show. But one, do you use dogs, or have you attempted to train a dog to find a shed is my first question. My second question is, have you found a giant shed on public land and then purposely gone out to try to hunt that deer the next fall?
So I guess to answer your second question first, we found a pretty good one on our property, not on public. Public, I mean, you know, probably 80 to 100-inch class deer I
yep.
found. But on private here, we found a couple years back, we found probably about 150-inch 16-pointer. And, you know, so we're pretty excited because we run trail cameras all winter, too. That's one of yep. our other tactics we use. But we never had him on camera, and we stumbled upon him. And then about a week later, I probably found a 150-inch 10-pointer, okay?
Wow.
And I called up my uncle and my cousins and my mom and dad, and they all came out and looked at this 10-pointer, and they're all excited, and we celebrated all day. And come to find out about a week later, and it was right about this time, they ended up pulling the old April Fool's joke on me on that 10-pointer. So they got me good on that one.
That's funny.
Fun.
That's awesome.
That's funny. I want to meet those guys. That's funny.
Right?
Hey, you know, hey, Tony Peterson is up.
No, he's got
another question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, and about the dogs. Have you ever used dogs?
Yes. So my brother, I trained one a little bit. I don't have a dog, so I haven't really worked with them. But if I ever do get a dog, that's probably going to be the number one thing that I'm going to train him for. They say it's just like training a dog to go bird hunting. It's just repetitive and continue to stick with it, and eventually they'll end up getting it.
You know, okay, back to Tony Peterson. Tony Peterson is a contributor to the Outdoor News. He's a friend of the show's. And by coincidence, he had a story about a shed hunting recently in the Outdoor News as well. And he talks about, I think the coolest thing about shed hunting is if you had kids, like Mark and Boomer both have young kids, what a yeah. great activity for these kids because they don't have to worry about sitting tight, not being, you know, being impatient, walking around, learning the woods and getting ideas. And I think that'd be a great activity for a father and son or daughter to do. But Tony says that this time of the year, let's say in February, early March, the deer, when they get a lot of snow, they tend to stay close to where they bed and all of that. So if they got 3-4 feet of snow someplace and you got, I don't know, 30-40 acres, they're not going to go far. They have a tendency to shed their antlers where they bed when the snow is that deep. So that's one good hint, he said. But he said the first time he ever went shed hunting, and tell me if what your big success story is. He was actually turkey hunting the first year of he started shed hunting. He was taking someone turkey hunting, and he got lucky and found in 2 hours nine separate sheds.
What?
Nine separate sheds in a couple of hours turkey hunting in an area that he was not familiar with. And each one of those nine sheds was not identical. They were not a pair. So there's nine big deer. Yeah.
I don't want to go hunting there.
And within,
where is that? Right? True.
That what is what?
Where is that?
I don't know where it is. Anyway,
you
know,
that's a very good point that you bring up with taking the kids out. One thing I do, you know, I found numerous sheds. I actually found one off the road yesterday. I spotted it out about 100 yards in a bean field. But one thing I do when I bring kids out is, or even a first timer, what I'll do is when I find the shed, I'll bring that person over and I'll have them find it to kind of develop that eye for seeing antlers. And then when we do find it, I'll throw that antler out in different areas. I'll throw it in a cornfield, I'll throw it in alfalfa, I'll throw it in tall grass, I'll throw it in oak woods, just to see how that antler sticks out and what I'm exactly looking for. But like you said, bringing the kids out, that is a great, great activity for them to do at this time of year.
Boy, I tell you what, sounds just great. This is Joe Cal from Minnesota.
Rackstars.
And
check them out on Facebook, everyone. Go to Facebook and follow Minnesota Rackstars. You do a great job with videos, and it's fun stuff.
I'm going to try sometime. I tell you what, I'm not going to Little Falls, but someday I'd like to meet you, Joe, and you can teach me how to
home of the Minnesota Fishing Hall of Fame in Little Falls.
Well, I could do that.
Yes. Yep,
that's it. Take care, Joel. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. We'd love to hear talk about shed hunting. We're going to give it a shot sometime. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's interesting. It sounds like a lot of fun. And your kids, with their personalities and their anxious attitudes, would love to go out in the woods like that, wouldn't they?
I'd have to plant some just to keep them excited.
Oh, absolutely. If you can do
you know what? We should do that with the kids.
Yeah, see if they can find
it. Yeah, from my mom. Yeah, we could do that. That would be a lot of fun.
I need to shoot a buck first and get some antlers.
I could dress like Sasquatch. No, I wouldn't do that.
That's true, man.
But that would be perfect because you're getting the kids interested. And tell them when they're in high school, when they graduate from college, and you planted those first sheds. That's a great story.
And you don't have to have them sit and be quiet. They can be active, and they can get into the sport of deer hunting.
Yeah. What do you guys got going this week?
Well, I think this week, hopefully this next week or weekend, I'm going to be on the water. It just depends. The water seemed to crest in St. Paul, so if it continues to go down, hopefully get out with our buddy Mike Larson at Larson's Quality Jigs. Hopefully sneak down to Dan's Southside Marine, pick up my new competitor 205 Alumacraft with 250 horses of Suzuki behind it, so I'm pumped about that.
Mark?
I'm going bowling with you on Saturday.
That's right. We got to get ready. In fact, I haven't bowled in years. Mark knows this. Mark used to bowl quite a bit as well. We're bowling in a no-tap tournament in Rush Ford, Minnesota, and I think it's going to hurt. But I'm going to try to get out one time this week and see what's happening
Let's
here.
Let's go find some sheds in the parking lot.
We can do that. Hey. A couple of Captain Morgans, we can find some sheds.
Hey, if you didn't catch this episode and you're getting ready to listen to Bear Facts and Fish Tales coming up next with Hall of Famers Mark and Larry, we had a great show. We talked about some tips and tricks for putting your ice fishing gear away. Recap of what a firearm safety certificate range day looks like. We talked about the ice house, fish house catastrophe on Lake Vermilion. And then we talked a little rack shed hunting with Minnesota Rack Stars. Plus, we learned that Michigan State beat Duke and a 2-year-old is winning in producer Mark's bracket.
I want to thank Dave Farmer. Thanks for being on and Joe as well for Minnesota Rack Stars. Thanks to both you guys for supporting the Four Outdoorsmen. Before we go, Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors.